Our next speaker is Hjalmar Vernøy, and he will be talking, member of the Zamba team, and works for Canonical, and his title is Zamba 4 in the Cloud.
Thank you. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the cloud in general while I'm talking about this. I was originally going to talk just about Zamba 4 deployment in the cloud, but I'm also going to talk a little bit about testing Zamba 4 using cloud infrastructure. And after talking about Zamba 4 in the cloud, I will talk about deployment using Juju, which happens to be what we use for Ubuntu, but I'm sure there's lots of other similar things. This just happens to be the one that I'm familiar with. So why I'm going to talk about the cloud? Andrew Bartlett and I used to give a Zamba 4 status update every single year, and I was suspecting him to actually give a status update this year, but he's not here. So I was going to talk about something different, which is why I ended up in the cloud, because that's what I do for my day job. I've done some experiments with it. I've just hosted my demo 5 minutes ago, so there won't be a demo. I'll probably be a little bit short. So I've done some experiments, and I will tell you what the results of those are, and also maybe we can discuss a little bit about whether this is actually useful. Myself, I'm not entirely convinced yet. So you're probably all familiar with the clouds. It's one of those fancy buzzwords. Computing or storage as a service. You can do it on demand. You can run stuff on demand. You can scale as necessary. It's usually external, so you somebody else provides it. You use it for a little while, then you stop. Then maybe later you use it for a little while again, etc. I've used the Amazon Cloud, which is probably the most well-known one. It's public, usable by anybody. You can easily create an account. It doesn't cost you anything until you actually start using it. So sign up is free. There's various data centers all over the world. And it's got a fairly good management API that you can use over the web. So it's a REST API that you can use to upload OS images, create instances, start instances, manage the routing, manage security for your images. And so once you've started an image, you can SSH into it and do whatever you would normally do with a virtual machine. I've used Ubuntu, but you can run anything you want on there, Windows or Red Hat or SUSE. And I've mostly done this with the command line tools that are available. This is a Oka Tools is a standard set of tools, which is, I found out, very, very easy to use. And so with these five commands, you can do basically all of the core stuff to just get an instance running. You need a little bit of setup in your home directory to set up the credentials that you get from the Amazon website, and then it's just these five commands. There's also a Python library that I've played with a little bit. You basically do the same thing. You put the credentials in, and then you can use a few Python commands to start instances, run commands remotely, and it's very easy to get going. So one of the reasons why I looked at this was because we, at the moment, have a bunch of issues with the build farm, in particular that we don't actually control the build farms, or most of the build farm machines ourselves. So if something breaks, then there's not much that we can do about it except for hassling the sysadmins. We can't really influence what software is installed. So some of the machines are on very old versions. Some of the machines happen to be upgraded halfway through. So we can no longer test on older versions of particular platforms, for example. Another issue is that we have limited resources, so some of the machines are very old. It takes them a very long time to build. And so after you do a commit and the build farm starts building your changes, it can take hours before you actually know that you broke something on an arcane platform. The idea was basically that if you start running these things in the cloud, you can get high performance virtual machines up in the cloud with these platforms. You can then actually determine the platform you're going to test yourself. You can determine what other software is going to be installed on it. You can run it on very fast machines, just run it once, then tear down the machine, and then once the next commit is done, you do the same thing all over again. So the idea was basically to just create a bunch of images. Once there is something you want to test, fire up an image, install Git on it, install all of our build tools on it, pull down Samba, run our test suite, submit the results to the build farm, and then tear it down again. Or suspend it so that you can fire it up quickly later. I didn't actually get to this. I did try it with a couple of Linux images, and that seemed to work. But it's not very much automated yet. And that is something that we could probably do using Python Boto. So some of my thoughts on this. One of the worries here is that if we start using a lot of cheap processing, then one of the risks is that we start becoming even more sloppy in what we test and whatnot. At the moment, the test suite is already very slow, in particular because the machine that we run all of our pre-commit tests on is very fast. So we don't really notice if we make things a lot slower. This sort of thing would be more reliable than the existing build farm, which would give us more control. But one of the main problems is that we rely on Amazon, and it would, of course, also be more expensive. At the moment, we have volunteers donating machine power to us and energy. That wouldn't be the case here. I haven't actually checked whether HPUX runs in the cloud. I guess that might be problematic. The yep, those all work. And in particular, one of the things that would be good to test is now with Samba 4, for example, we can use MIT Kerberos or Hemlock Kerberos as system library. It's very easy to get regressions in that. On SN, on our main build machine, we don't have any of the Heimdall libraries installed, at least. And I think we don't have the MIT checks for Samba 4 enabled. So we can check, we can test with multiple, with more different configurations. No, I haven't. I don't know whether they do that sort of thing, but I guess we can always ask. And so another thing is that Amazon is a public cloud, but you can always also do this with a private cloud. There's OpenStack that I've worked with myself. There's also Eucalyptus. Or you can even basically deploy it on a single heavy-duty machine using LXC. This might not all be all that relevant for Samba because we probably don't want to have a basement somewhere with a lot of machines that somebody has to take care of. Although maybe a single heavy-duty machine would be an option. So the other thing I've played with is Juju. How am I doing in terms of time? Okay. So the other thing I've played with is Juju, which is a service orchestration tool that you can use to deploy stuff in the cloud. It basically sits on top of the cloud, so rather than having to set up the virtual machines yourself, install a particular operating system, then install the services on that operating system, you give that out of hand to Juju, which takes care of setting up the images, running the instances, installing the services, taking also care of some bits of the configuration. So this is service orchestration. Provisioning, it doesn't do any of the configuration management that that's still left up to whatever other tools you would use for that, Chef or Puppet. It uses some fancy service descriptions to describe the services. At the moment, it all runs on top of Ubuntu because that's what we happen to use, but it's not really Ubuntu specific. The service descriptions are named charms. This is all based on some African theme, I guess, the name Juju as well. And the charms are used to describe how the service should be installed, how the provisioning works, etc. This also takes care of the management of extra instances. So, for example, if you are running MySQL, you can use this to deploy the first database server. And then if you need more, you can always add extra units. So you just tell Juju that you need one or two extra VMs with MySQL on it, and it will take care of setting those up, setting up the replication between the new instances and the existing one, and you get more scalability. Of course, all of the knowledge about adding extra replicated databases needs to be in the charms, so that's where the real challenge is. So each charm usually runs in its own virtual machine. Can either be a proper virtual machine using Xen or something cloud created, or even just a LXC container. The charms look very much like packages, so they have a bit of metadata with a description, a maintainer, some dependencies as well, and a little bit of configuration, and then a bunch of hooks, one of which gets a bunch of hooks, which are all scripts, or shell scripts, or Python scripts, or whatever you prefer, each of which gets run at a specific event. So when you install, there's a hook that has the ability to install packages, set up the basic configuration. There's a hook which gets run on upgrades. There's one gets run on removal, one that takes care of configuration changes, and one that takes care of relationship changes. And the relationship changes are probably the most interesting ones. So I was going to show actually setting up the SAMBA4 charm and running it, except I host my demo right before the talk. So I'm not going to do that, but I will show you the actual charm. So this is still very basic. Not sure if this is readable. So this is all YAML, which is another, it's a little bit XML-like file format, but without all of the typing. So it's got a name, a summary, a description, and we also declare that it provides a Active Directory DC. And in my particular case, it has just two configuration options, which are the realm and the domain. So the metadata of the YAML is the main file, and then there's a few other files, such as revision. There's the configuration, which is very simple as well. It just describes what the configuration options are. The revision is just a number in a file. And then there are a few hooks. So this just installs SAMBA4 and logs that it's stopping it, which is all just a really simple wrapper around the existing packaging infrastructure. And similarly, start and stop are also very simple wrappers. So I was going to show you actually starting this, but unfortunately that doesn't work. I can describe what it would do. You would basically run juju deploy SAMBA4, and that would take care of setting up a LXC container or an Amazon VM, and then installing the SAMBA4 package, configuring it according to my settings or using the defaults. It would then give me the possibility to route the open port somewhere else, and I would have a SAMBA4 DC. So usually it's very simple. Right now, it doesn't actually work. So that's the basic SAMBA4 juju charm. Things get more interesting when you start looking at the relationship between the charms. The classic example is WordPress, which relies on a MySQL database. You can have one charm which provides a MySQL database, and you have to declare that in the metadata, and you can then have a charm which consumes that MySQL database and declares that it needs one. And Juju will take care of connecting them. So each of these charms has to declare its relationships. The relationships can be multi-multi as well. So it doesn't have to be just a single MySQL server and a single WordPress server, but it can be a cluster of MySQL servers or anything like that. So this is basically how you would scale things. So deploying an extra MySQL database, saying that it has to talk to a particular master database, And this will trigger particular hooks in the charms as well. And they can use that the running of that hook to set up the right stuff in MySQL itself. So this is, for example, how you would do deployments for a Samba DC, setting a realm in this case, or doing a deployment with a particular configuration file with settings. And this doesn't need any other setup other than having Juju installed. So this is, you can do this against Amazon EC2, a local environment, which is what I was using myself, using LXC. Or you can do it against the private clouds, OpenStack or Eucalyptus, or on bare metal. So using something else, metal as a service. So my charm for Samba 4 focused on just being a DC. It was really, really simple. At the moment, it's just a wrapper around the Samba 4 Debian package. It did work. It doesn't do anything other than provide the Active Directory DC, so it doesn't do file sharing, for example. But that would also be very easily possible. So currently this works. It automatically provisions. At the moment we are based on the Ubuntu package of Samba 4, so it's a very easy way if you're running Ubuntu to test out Samba 4. One of the very interesting things here would be using this to set up replication. So if you want to have a larger Active Directory domain with multiple DCs, you could use this to set up multiple Samba DCs and have the charms take care of actually setting up the replication for you, so you could, with one or two commands, add an extra DC to your domain. That all of that doesn't work yet, but it shouldn't be very hard. So Juju is an Ubuntu project, but it's being ported to other platforms as well, including Mac OS X, and it runs on Red Hat as well. My charm can be found in that URL, and there's an IRC channel. How am I doing in time? 15. Okay. That's too much. yeah, I'm happy to answer questions also about Samba 4 itself. Are there any questions?
Okay.
Or maybe thoughts on using this for running the build farm, or thoughts on whether this is useful at all? I'm personally not convinced with that. Using this for running an Active Directory domain controller is all that useful, but it was a fun trip in the land of the cloud.
Thanks. Well, at first, I think it's generally having an easy means for setting up stuff, test machines, and so on is quite useful. And I don't know if the first thing you presented would be useful for replacing the build farm, but for adding more machines to the build farm, having more test results, also what you described, various system scenarios with the same distribution underneath, for instance, Kerberos libraries, whatever, would be extremely useful, I guess, to have a more covering of test results. I don't know about the replacing the build farm, I'm not sure about that. For instance, with these like more exotic things, of course, the build farm has been, well, a little bit orphaned lately, but this should be fixed also, I guess. And about this setup things, if you say, okay, you set up replication and so on, maybe you could you show how these charms look like when you try to tell them a little more how to configure stuff? I mean, just installing a Debian package wouldn't be sufficient. You need to add configuration snippets or whatever, I guess.
So it uses the debconf integration. So the Samba 4 Debian package allows you to set up a realm, set up a domain, set up a couple other things as well.
Oh, you can tell it to either provision or to join a different domain?
So at the moment, it always sets up a new DC. Mm-hmm. And it just generates an administrator password that it spits out to a log somewhere. One of the things that this could be extended with is rather than setting up a new domain, having one of the charm hooks actually join an existing domain. So I'm not entirely sure what the best way would be to do that quite yet. Probably by just specifying that the membership role or something like that. And then in that case, we would then do a join rather than a DC provision. I can show you the hooks that
yes,
are being
please.
Used. Sorry?
Yes, please. That would be very interesting.